Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day. Thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, filling in for Colin Cowherd alongside the supremely talented, always prepared, and she's got so many jobs. And she's like, well, I mean, I got this and I got that. I got a TV for Amazon for the NFL game, and I got to do radio, and I got to do the other Cardinals game, and like. Plus, she's posting, she's doing pods. Joy Taylor, Merry Christmas to you, Joy.
Merry Christmas.
See, you can say Merry Christmas and nobody's offended.
Are people still getting offended by Merry Christmas?
No, I don't think so. Anybody's getting offended. Oh. I just think that people are like, happy holidays. It's easier.
Happy holidays is easier. I just don't, I prefer Merry Christmas.
I do too.
It rolls off the tongue.
Totally agree.
Better.
Totally agree. Absolutely. However you celebrate, just be safe and you know, like, I don't think asking somebody to wear a mask is all that much. Really all that much. Yes. Plus, it's a great way to check your breath, too, right? Like, I've always wondered, how's my breath smell? I mean, that's a big thing.
How's my breath smell? You don't have to wonder anymore.
Right? Like, you know, sometimes you wake up, you can taste it. You're like, man, I really need to brush my teeth. Then you brush your teeth, and you go back, like, 30 minutes later, you're like, yeah, not feeling it.
As a beautiful person, I can tell you, it's really not that big of a deal to wear a mask.
Well, you are a beautiful person.
I should be pretty upset about having to, cover this up. And I deal with it. I manage.
I wish, this is just me, I just wish there was a way in which we could slow down the spread of this virus while, by the way, covering up my awful hairline. Like, if that, we could do those two things.
I mean, you could wear the full mask.
There's lots of people with bad teeth that are like, this is the greatest thing ever. Nobody knows I have bad teeth. Right?
I don't know, man. We're getting close. The vaccine is close.
Everybody has a friend that talks out the side of their mouth. Like side talk of their mouth guy is like, this is amazing. Nobody knows I talk out the side of my mouth. Yeah. But those of us with, you know, some hairline challenges, nobody ever said like, hey, how do we slow the spread of this virus while making Doug's hairline look anything less than a really cool mohawk. We do that. We're good. Rick Bucher is going to join us in 15 minutes. I wonder if Buke surfed this morning. I wonder if he did.
He's a big surfer?
Good surfer. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm terrified of surfing. I've done it twice, but
I did it on Christmas Day once out in Hawaii. I was doing the Diamond Head Invitational. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah. There's sharks out there.
Not in Diamond Head.
I mean, in the ocean. That's where they live, in the ocean.
Do you know that, like, the number of shark bites, like, you want to talk about the most overrated things ever, shark bites.
Yeah, I'm like a wader in the ocean. Like, I like,
there's sharks,
know,
in
up
there.
To knees, you know, I feel like I'm fast enough. I could run out of the water. Once I feel like I'm not fast enough.
That actually is really not true, but yeah.
It makes me feel comfortable.
Have you ever seen people run out of the water?
Yes.
It's like Chariots of Fire. Dum, 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 dum. Is that full speed for you, bud? Is that the best you got?
I realize I'm not faster than a shark in water. I'm just saying. It makes me feel comfortable.
I understand. Whatever makes you feel comfortable, that's what's special. There's been lots of comments out of Tampa. And I will... And Rye Music is producing today. He's my producer on the Doug Gottlieb Show, which you can listen to daily, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific. Follows the Herd on a daily basis if you listen on Fox Sports Radio or foxsportsradio.com. And Ryan can attest to this. When Tom Brady signed with Tampa, my biggest hesitation was that Bruce Arians likes the quarterbacks he's been successful with, and he's been successful with several. Ben Roethlisberger, big, strong, holds the ball a little bit too long, throws it down the field. Andrew Luck, big, strong, held the ball a little bit too long. That's one of the reasons he took such a savage beating, throws it down the field. And, I mean, look, Carson Palmer, big, strong, holds the ball a little bit too long, throws the ball down the field. And, all three got hurt playing for him, but had an immense amount of success, and they like Bruce Arians. And then I think at Tom Brady, and how Brady has always been described to me is Tom Brady gets rid of the ball so quick, there's literally nothing you can do. Like, your pass rush, you know, you have to slow their wide receivers because you cannot stop Tom Brady once he gets to his spot and he picks you apart. He gets rid of it way too quick for you. So I did see some of this coming, but Bruce Arians and Tom Brady have spent the better part of the past 2 weeks talking about, man, how great our relationship is. You know this, Joy, from anybody's, your best friend's or your girlfriend's or a dude you know's relationship. Almost any time somebody tells you in passing how unbelievably great their relationship is, you're like, yeah, I'm not buying that at all. I am not buying that at all. Like, relationships can be really, really hard. And when I hear Arians and Brady say, we are fitting together like hand and glove. We are working out and everything is great. I'm like, aha! Aha! By the way, speaking of aha, do you see Coming to America 2 is coming out?
Oh, I can't wait. It looks so good.
It looks good. It might be terrible, but I am definitely...
It looks good, though.
Yes. The question is, do you see it in the theater or does it go direct to HBO Max like everything else is going? Anyway.
I think it's on Prime Video.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a Prime Video one?
I think it is, yeah.
Well, that's good. To order some on Amazon and watch a little Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall. Anyway, but you don't care if they're good or if they're not good, right?
For Coming to America?
No, Arians and Brady.
Oh, no, I don't care. It doesn't. To your point, did I ask you if your relationship was going well? Yeah. And maybe the reporters are asking them how things are going, so they're answering. But it's like, everyone knows that's not how relationships are. So if you're if the answer is always everything is perfect, then it is clearly not, because nobody's relationship is perfect.
Right. But
more than that, I don't care if your relationship is perfect. It's not about your relationship. If your relationship is affecting the team that much, we'd be hearing it from other people. So who cares if Bruce Arians and Tom Brady get along?
I don't think it matters in the grand scheme of things, right? For the next 30 years that they're exchanging Christmas cards. But in this particular case, it matters for two reasons. One, Brady has to be able to play his style in order to be successful. Not just long term, but like, he's 43 years old. He cannot be holding the ball. He clearly cannot throw the ball down the field and be not only comfortable, but accurate. That's just not who he is. So trying to make him do anything other than what he does best at this late stage in his career is stupid, in my opinion. And Arians and the relationship, so much of it is about ego and trust, right? And if there's no trust there, then there's no relationship there, and there's not the, hey, Tom, I trust you to do whatever you want, run whatever you want, I'll figure out how to make it work. But there isn't. So I do think it matters specifically because it is his offense at the end of the day. And then the other part is, and this is where I think, at least, even if it's fake about the getting along, you don't need to be taking shots at him at the press conference and saying, worked in practice. We showed him everything that he was going to see, and he saw it. Just didn't happen in the games. Got to complete those deep balls. Because it, in addition to probably ticking him off, it undermines his credibility with his guys. It just does.
To your point, it's not that they need to get along. You don't have to have a great relationship, but you have to have respect. So if there's a respect issue there, or there's a communication breakdown, then that would be of interest to me. But all of the over the top, like, he's great and this praise and that praise, it's like, that doesn't matter to me. Are you guys communicating and do you have respect for each other? Because that will translate to wins, because you can communicate, okay, this doesn't work for me, Bruce, I need to do this. Or Tom, this is kind of this what's going to work in this system. Can you adjust to that? Respectful communication is key to a good relationship.
But I don't even think it's respectful communication. There has to be the, like, I just think Arians is going to have to come off of the everything I've done, because Brady, not only can he say everything I've done's worked, but he actually has six different pieces of metal that can show you it works, and he ain't changing. And this is kind of the problem with guys, right? Like, guys get into this, like, I am who I am, and I've been successful. And Arians wants to not only do it his way, but he wants to show that he can win a Super Bowl his way.
I don't care about whose way it is either. Like, that to me, especially when it comes to coaches, I feel like that is very silly notion. Like, you have to adjust to the talent that you have.
And that's the genius to Belichick, really,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And you're seeing some of that in Miami with Brian Flores, who is a Belichick coaching tree disciple. Yes. Do what's best for the players that you have. Like, you have to adjust. You're one guy. They're the collective team. Now, you can have an idea, you can have a system, you can have plays, you can have a style, that's great. But at the end of the day, the guys in the field have to execute that. And if they're not capable of executing whatever has worked for you, then it's irrelevant. John Wooden adjusted his system for Lew Alcindor. If John Wooden can make adjustments, then you can too.
Well, John Wooden also didn't win until he had play, right? Like, he was a 500 coach, and then he had play. But yes, you are correct, right? Any of these guys that live and die by a system, usually die by a system. Do what, you know, find what's best for your guys and have them fit, you know, and adjust to them. Especially when you get a guy who's been doing it. And they haven't done it the same way in New England, right? There was when they had Randy Moss, they threw the ball deep down the field. But when they had Wes Welker, they didn't, because he was the best option route guy in the NFL. So these things, you know.
But to your point, Bruce Arians, and you look at the quarterbacks that he's worked with, they're not really death by a thousand cuts. That's Tom Brady's style.
Right, which is why it's an odd fit. Can it work? Yes. Will it work? Don't know. I feel like it won't, because I do feel like if either of those guys were early on in their career, then yeah, maybe. But they're not, and those are really hard hills to come off. Rick Bucher joins us upcoming next. We'll get his thoughts. Giannis missed a free throw, could have won a game. Will there be added pressure on Giannis, or less pressure on Giannis, because he signed the long-term deal to remain with the Bucks? We'll get his early returns on the Lakers, on the Clippers, and will James Harden ever wear a Houston Rockets uniform again? All that's next with Joy Taylor. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb, Joy Taylor, in for Colin. This is The Herd. You know, this is good. Family, you might not be able to get back together with your family. It might be Zooming, or you might have them on the radio with them. Bucher's like family, right? Because here's how far back we go, Joy. My first national radio show was called Game Night on ESPN Radio. It was with Chuck Wilson. We were on for 6 hours a night. 4 days a week, 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. And then John Seibel and Freddie Coleman did the weekend. They did three nights a week. And we'd have Buke on once a week. We used to have Buke break out of the box. The box is the nickname for ESPN News, by the way. I'm in the box, right? I mean, I'm on ESPN News. Anyway, Buke would break out of the box. And I'd always ask you, do you remember what I would always ask you? I'd ask you once a week, one question a week.
It has varied over the years, Douglas, so I don't remember what the original question was.
No, the original questions were all about music. I would ask you a music question because you're smarter. You went to Dartmouth. You throw around your whole Ivy League education.
That's so bull.
It's not bull. You went to Dartmouth. You are smarter than me, and you like to show off that you're smarter than me.
So there are two different things. There is going to Dartmouth, and then there's being smart. Like, the toughest thing, I've always said it, with Ivy League schools in general, Dartmouth included, the hardest thing is to get in. And we had a great hockey team. So that is proof positive that you did not have to be a rocket scientist to get into Dartmouth.
I thought you played soccer, not hockey.
I did, but the frat right next door was the hockey fraternity. We were the soccer fraternity, and so I knew the escapade. Yeah. A lot of friends over there.
All right, well, listen.
And look, I love hockey, and I love hockey players, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I got you. Listen, you're unfairly stereotyping hockey guys as dumb jocks. That's okay.
You're unfairly stereotyping Dartmouth guys as all being brainiacs.
I don't actually think that's a negative stereotype, by
Bucher,
the way.
These days, I'm taking the smart stereotypes.
You're right.
That's
I'm
a compliment
smart.
I'm
thank
accepting
you.
With both hands wide open. Like, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyway, we've had you on. We've been friends for a long time. Mm-hmm. Does James Harden play another game for the Rockets?
It's a tough question. I would think that he does simply because all the complications with what's going on is going to make it a little more challenging for the Rockets to get a palatable deal. I don't think that they want to sell 10 cents on the dollar. So it's almost like we got to get him back for at least a game or just need more time in order to get something done. Now, if, James finds some way somehow to prolong his absence and then they're forced into making a deal just to make a deal. Again, this to me is why they needed to make a deal before the season started, before training camp started. Once you get to this place with a star player, the idea that you have enough leverage or you can work it out or you can take your time, I've just seen that blow up in teams' faces more often than not, and that's where the Rockets find themselves.
Unless you're like, you do what the Lakers did, when you broke the Kobe Bryant story back in the day, go like, you want to play somewhere else? That's great. You got 2 years left in your contract. You're playing for us. That's the only, because I agree with you. There's also there's clearly no communication there, because if they were thinking about moving Russell, there should have been a conversation there. Hey, are you in? Right?
Yep.
Or they should have known whether he was in or not in a long time ago. And if they knew he wasn't in and they knew they had to trade him, then they should have traded him a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, and it's a little bit like, if you look at what OKC did with Paul and Russ, they got to a point where they're like, okay, we need to clear the decks. We need to change up here. And they did it sooner rather than later. And as a result, they got a
ransom.
They got a ton of stuff as a result. And we've seen other teams that have hung on and thought that they could convince them otherwise. It all comes down to what's your level of communication. I could go back to Denver Nuggets, Carmelo Anthony. Masai Ujiri played that exactly right. Had both the Nets and the Knicks looking to land him and ended up putting together a playoff team. Out of the pieces that the Knicks ultimately gave up, and they gave up a Pirates ransom in that one too.
Yep. And all Melo had to do was wait until the offseason, but remember the lockout was coming and he freaked out and then he went to a place that didn't have any players, whereas they had a young team that was all traded back for him in return. Rick Bucher joining us. Early returns on the Clippers. I know, like, we can make fun of the Clippers. This is their championship. but look, I thought the offense looked better. I like the pieces and how Nick Batum looked and how Serge Ibaka looked. Like, I like what the Clippers have done in kind of a little bit of a remodel.
I do too. They looked like a humbled team to me. And there's still some things that need to be worked out. And the interesting part for me is Kawhi wanting to play the triangle. And I believe that that's where the rub is, because they're going to be better if they play a little faster. Kawhi really doesn't play fast.
No.
I think that's why he wants to play the triangle. I honestly feel they're better when the offense is running through Paul George. That certainly was the case with the Lakers, above and beyond the fact that he got on one of his hot streaks. And when he's on one of those hot streaks, man, it is a sight to behold. But I also just think there's just more flow and they play a little bit faster. Things get stuck when Kawhi is the centerpiece and he's not a good enough passer to play that slow pace and be efficient and get everybody involved. So I that to me is going to be the interesting dynamic. Is Kawhi willing to take a subsidiary role with the Clippers offensively if that's what is best for the team? But without question, across, and the other part is he has to stop just giving in to the switch. Like, dude, you're a great defender in certain situations, in need situations in that game. We got you on the main guy, and it's the softest screen ever.
Right.
And he just concedes to it. And that's not just, you know, allowing the opposition to do what they want, but it also sends a terrible message to the rest of your team. Kawhi's not even going to attempt to fight over the softest of screens. It gives license to everybody else taking kind of the same approach.
Yeah, I would only, my only pushback on the triangle, and obviously, you know, my late father coached with Tex at Long Beach State. I was with the Lakers in a couple different summers, and I know it really well. Is I do think there's a little bit of a, the triangle is, it's not about anything more than perfect spacing. Now it really bodes well if, like the Clippers, you don't have a true point guard, you don't have a true lead ball handler, a guy to come off these ball screens and rolls. I don't know. There's just not a lot of guys that fit that style now, with so many players growing up in a style where everything is ball dominant, ball centric. You know, ball screen, ball screen, ball screen. There's not a lot of ball screens in that offense. But what it does is, if your favorite place to catch the ball is either the low post or the elbow, it gives it you know where everybody is. So when the help comes, the doubles come. A good passer is made, a below average passer is made into a good passer, a good passer is made into a great passer, because you know exactly where somebody's supposed to be. So that would be I think that's his thinking, is he knows he ain't a good passer. He knows where he wants to get the ball. He just needs to know where everybody else is going to be, and that's kind of the answer. All right, same question with the Lakers. On paper, they are better, but games aren't played on paper. Are they better?
I do believe that they're better simply because of the growth in confidence that Anthony Davis and KCP showed, in particular in that first game. They're younger, they're more athletic. I'm a Dennis Schroeder fan. I think he has the dog mindset that you want to add to a team. So, yeah, for all those reasons, and adding a couple guys that are hungry to win a ring never hurts. So, are they better than last year? Yeah, and the gain of making a run to a championship and winning a ring, I just think that's an invaluable component that now Anthony Davis and a number of those guys have. So, yeah, I mean, I just think they're the overwhelming favorite now. There's always the question, and we saw it. Like, if LeBron James gets hurt, like, there are, anybody who thinks that they can play through Anthony Davis and be the same team, that's, Anthony Davis has grown a lot, but he's not that. He is not a playmaker, and he's not a guy that is going to lead your team. Without LeBron James, none of what they have works.
I would agree there. Rick Bucher joining us from Bleacher Report, Fox Sports 1. Of course, a long time he's covered the NBA. Long term, does the Nets thing work?
I don't see how it does. I think offensively they're going to be a terror. But the way it's such a long season that you have to have camaraderie. You have to have guys who like to be around each other and lift each other up. And I can't get over Kevin Durant comes back and he shows that he's pretty damn close to the same Kevin Durant. He has a great game. The Nets have a great game against his former team. And no matter what he says, it does mean something anytime you play against the place that you just were, and especially when things ended the way they did. And yet he's on the post game and kind of sulking. I mean, the demeanor, and one, it's inexplicable, and two, that carries a weight. And Kyrie the artiste being a wild card. And then I look at the rest of that roster and I go, okay, so who's going to be the connective tissue here? Who's going to be the guy who rallies guys? Who's the guy who's going to talk to everybody and lift them up and make things light when it needs to be lightened? And I don't see that person. I don't see that person with the personality or the gravitas on the team. And if there are no bumps in the road, then maybe they survive it. But as we know, with a 72-game season and a run to, you know, where the expectations are, at least to the conference finals, there are going to be bumps in the road. there are going to be issues. And, you know, Steve Nash is good at that stuff, but it has to come from inside your locker room. And that's my biggest concern about them.
In and of itself, losing a game, first game of the season, not that big a deal. If we're honest, Jason Tatum hits a bank three over Giannis, you're like, all right, what are you going to do? But not sure how many people woke up knowing this. They got the ball back. Giannis got fouled.
Yep.
Had two free throws to tie the game. Missed it.
Yep.
I guess, and you know, we've all been taught don't do two-part questions, but I'm doing it anyway because you're going to answer both of them, which is the free throw thing seems like it's going to be a thing. And does signing the deal to stay in Milwaukee, instead of decreasing the pressure, because that's really, we would have talked about every game. Does it actually increase the pressure? Because you'd sit there and go, like, what the hell did you stay for if you don't want to win?
Yeah, I think the pressure would have been there regardless wherever he went. And I don't know that it's heightened by him staying, simply because it would take a huge about face for a lot of people in the media to suddenly start blaming Giannis, because what I've heard, you know, for the last 2 years, even though I've pushed back on it, is that, well, he shouldn't stay in Milwaukee because he can't get enough help in Milwaukee.
Right.
Chris Middleton's not a good enough number two. So now what? Now you're going to turn around and say, hey, you know, wait a minute, he's staying in Milwaukee. You know, suddenly you have to put it on Giannis. It's always been on Giannis. And what I also find fascinating, though, is, like, when did we anoint Luka Doncic the next MVP of the league? I don't know if you're hearing this, but I've seen it discussed and people talking about it, and I'm like, when did we decide that he was, you know, arguably one of the best or the best players in the league? When did that happen? Because what I saw, and what I saw even in the first game, is one, dude struggles to stay healthy, and two, his game is not as efficient. I love his game. I thought he was undervalued coming in, but there's some things that need to be cleaned up in a big way if we're going to start talking about him being one of the best players in the league. And that's on the defensive end, that's turnovers, and that's, you know, we're relying more and more on these 30-foot threes that he doesn't make on a consistent enough basis to be taking them.
No, I do agree with you. I watched the Warriors, and I didn't just miss Klay Thompson.
Yep.
I don't think they've reconstructed it the right way.
No.
In that, Joy's filling in for Jason McIntyre on Saturday, right?
Yes.
And Jason likes to say, well, you know, Steph's the best point guard ever in the history of the NBA. Like, hey, I hate to be the guy, but everybody knows he's not really a point guard. And the beauty to what they had built previously was they had other guys that were all point something, right? Draymond, and I know he didn't play there tonight, but Draymond's a point center, really. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Durant. Same thing with Iguodala. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Livingston. Same thing. Like, you kind of go through. They had a bunch of other guys that could handle pass and shoot enough so that he didn't have to do all that stuff. He could just, if he hadn't transitioned, otherwise he'd pass it. And now he's really, really dangerous because he's as good or better off the ball as he is on the ball.
Yeah.
I don't like, now that Wiggins can't pass, Oubre's not a passer. Wiseman's not a passer. That's a completely different composition.
Yeah. Well, and passing, but just general basketball IQ, they've taken a huge fall. I mean, the best they looked is when you had Bazemore, Kevon Looney, Steph. I mean, just some people that know how to play. Andrew Wiggins doesn't know how to play basketball at a high cerebral level. Kelly Oubre doesn't either. Both of those guys can be dynamic, but that's not what the Warriors were. And that IQ applied at both ends of the floor, and they're a long way from that, and they don't have guys on that roster that are going to change that anytime soon. And so this is the thing. You know, I'm never going to bash Steph because he's just such a unique, special player, and there's so many things that he brings that are intangibles. But the heart of it is, he knows exactly who he is. And he knows exactly how he has to play to get the most out of himself. And he's not the guy who he'll take on any challenge, but he's not, you'll never hear him go, you know what? I should be right there with LeBron or Kobe, or I'm the best point guard in the league. He would never do that, in part because that's not what's important to him. I mean, if any guy has his priorities set straight, it's Steph, which is, I got this group around me. How do I win best with what I have around me? That's where he is, the point guard. He is, Draymond's the vocal leader, but Steph is really the guy who sets the tempo and the mindset for the Warriors. And so much of it is just his selflessness and the way he goes about things.
Most important question I'm going to ask you. Are you a gift card guy?
Am I a gift card guy? Yeah. Only in emergency.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking of you, but I know I have to get something for you. So here, I'm going to throw money at the problem.
Oh.
Right?
Yes. I owe you something. And I didn't make any plans, and I don't really know you well enough to get something, nor do I want to put the mental energy into figuring out what would be an ideal gift.
Thank you, Rick Bucher. Joey's trying to convince me, like, look, you're just, I don't really care. Yeah, it's a gift. I thank you. I can go spend it my way.
I mean, maybe I'm just more grateful than the two of you.
That's definitely it. That's exactly what it is. You are much more grateful. I'm like, dude, you don't even know me. You just gave me some gift card?
If it's your partner, yes. If it's literally anyone else, I appreciate you thinking enough of me to get me a gift.
This is the thing, Joy. It's if it's a surprise that you got me anything,
yeah,
then the gift card is great. I'm like, oh, that's like,
nice.
You got me a $25 at Pete's. Yeah. Awesome. I'm good. But if it's like I know you and kind of we're exchanging gifts, that's a bailout. I'm bailing. I'm bailing on my effort there.
Yeah, that's
false hustle. False hustle. That's what a gift card is.
Buke, Merry Christmas to you and your family. We'll talk soon.
It's the same. Happy holidays, Joy.
Rick
Merry
Buke,
Christmas.
He's the best. See, he didn't want to do Merry Christmas.
He didn't want to do
Merry Christmas. He's like, I don't know about Gottlieb's a Jew. I don't know about Joy. I'm just going to go help Happy Holidays and bail out. See you, bye. Click. Oh, let's get to Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So, Ryan Tannehill did not make the list of Pro Bowl quarterbacks from the AFC this season. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Deshaun Watson were chosen instead. After the rosters were revealed, Tannehill said he was frustrated and he thought he should have been selected.
Agreed.
But he's not going to waste any time thinking about it. Also, he believes there's a perception that all he does is pass the ball off to Derrick Henry, who is the league's leading rusher.
Well, that's fairly accurate.
Yes, I think that two things are hurting Ryan Tannehill when it comes to this. One, Derrick Henry, obviously. League's leading rusher, 15 touchdowns, over 1,600 yards, 321 carries. And as we all know, there's a certain amount of carries Derrick Henry has to hit in order for the Titans to win. So that, like, if you just look at the numbers alone, that is factual. So while Ryan Tannehill isn't having a bad season, he's got 31 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. That's incredible. Almost 3,500 yards and a 66.5 completion percentage. He's having a great season. It's not a snub that he's not in there. Like, that's a little bit of an exaggeration. Deshaun Watson, 69.9 completion percentage, 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Obviously, Deshaun Watson is not having this season collectively as a team that Ryan Tannehill has had, but that's not how the Pro Bowl works. I get it. I also think that there's still a little bit of residue on, you know, most fans' minds about what Ryan Tannehill is as a quarterback, despite the fact that he has had much more success in Tennessee than he did in Miami. But again, like it's not a snub to me. Like it wasn't something that's egregious. I can understand
I'm gonna say something which is gonna be unpopular, but it's true. Ryan Tannehill belongs on that list, and Deshaun Watson does not. I'm sorry, you're a quarterback. Your team is 4-10. Okay,
but
the Deshaun Watson thing. I like Deshaun Watson. He is tough. He played with a detached lung. It was a collapsed lung, right? Remember they caught the van to Jacksonville. But
yeah.
Like, dude, they're 4-10.
But the Pro Bowl. There's lots of Pro Bowlers that aren't on winning teams.
No, you're right. Okay?
It's about your individual performance.
Yes. Okay. It's a little bit loaded here. Okay. I agree with you. Generally, what happens is they work through the first list of Pro Bowlers, and then they, you know, then they have other guys fill in. But Deshaun Watson gets a pass. He's the only quarterback that gets a pass for the team record. He's the only one. I've never heard of any other quarterback. Like, you know, the team didn't win, but Deshaun, he's okay. Like, sorry, they're basically the exact same record as an organization before he got there, since he's been there.
But also, if you look at the AFC, so Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, obviously, are the other two.
No question.
But if you look around the AFC, Steelers, you're not going to give it to Big Ben.
No.
You're not going to give it to Baker.
Right.
Not going to give it to Philip Rivers.
But Baker hasn't played great football in the last. He's played.
He has. I actually wouldn't have been surprised if Baker had made it. But again, like Baker.
Team is winning.
Baker. But there's guys who made the Pro Bowl from bad teams.
I got it. But when you're comparing, do I think Deshaun Watson is better than Ryan Tannehill? Yes, of course I do. Okay, but is Deshaun Watson having a better season? No, his team is 4-10. Sorry, no. It's not all his fault.
I don't know. To me, it's individually.
All right.
So this story, I guess it just didn't get a lot of coverage because it's the Washington football team and it's Dwayne Haskins. But Dwayne Haskins has been punished by Washington for attending a private party without a mask. The team fined him $40,000 and removed him from his role as captain. Haskins apologized for his decision, saying he shouldn't have put the team at risk. He'll learn from his mistake and do everything he can to make the most of his second chance. He is on track to start this weekend against the Panthers. He was taking starter reps in practice because Alex Smith is still dealing with a calf injury. And this story is so frustrating to me. So frustrating. I can't give guys passes in situations like this.
You mean the guy who his college coach said was not ready yet and wasn't ready yet, and then, you know, didn't know the playbook, didn't play well.
This is
took a selfie instead of taking the final snap of a win last year, got benched this year, and you thought had figured it out, now hasn't figured it out. Yeah, not frustrating at all.
I mean, hasn't figured it out. This is an insane thing to do. It is an insane thing to do. It's one thing if you're a regular person going to parties, which like, look, I think we all know at this point, if you know anything about me, I'm wearing a mask and like doing my part to the best of my capabilities while also staying sane. Okay. But it is the middle of the NFL season. There are guys who have not been to a restaurant. They go straight home and to work, and that's it for how many months? You're going out to a party? You're the quarterback? Oh my God! It's a global pandemic. My mind was absolutely blown when I saw this story. There's no words for it.
That's Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Okay, we're going to have some fun upcoming next. Our best for last is the worst gifts ever. Not gifts. Gifts. Ever.
Presents.
Next in the Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Let's get to the best for last.
It's almost the end of the show, but that doesn't mean we're phoning it in. Nope, we grind to the very last segment. It's time for Best for Last.
All right, here's what we did. We were talking about gift cards, and I was thinking of the worst gift ideas. Okay, so Joy, feel free. We don't have a ton of time.
Okay.
Okay. Let's start with number 10, from 10 to 1.
All
right, perfume or cologne.
That's a great gift.
It can be. Unless the person doesn't like the perfume or cologne.
Well, you got to know what kind they wear.
Okay, I understand. It's a complete hit or miss. And if you guess wrong, especially with a woman, you're like, well, who wears that perfume?
Yeah, like I bought perfume for my sisters or my brothers. I know I like it, so I know they will like it. I'm not randomly picking perfumes or colognes that I've
never
smelled
difficult.
Before.
As a male, it is very, very difficult. Like, I love that smell. I went and got it for you. Like, that's not my smell. Like,
it could be tricky, yes.
Can be tricky. Okay.
Number 9.
Same with scented candles. I love scented candles.
It's a great gift.
But everyone's nose is different, and what smells good to me does not necessarily smell good to you.
You gotta ask what kind of people's scents are. See, both of these are ones you got to know a little bit about.
Right, which is, again, that's the hit or the miss, right? Hit or the miss. Books.
Love books.
I do too. I ordered 2 Obama books. Okay? There's somebody in my family does not want an Obama book. Right? Excuse me? It's a doorstop, right? And there's another one like, oh my God, I've been waiting for this book my entire life. This is amazing. Books can be very, can be as, I don't care about this human
being.
Yeah,
you gotta be tricky with books.
Number seven.
Seasonal drinks.
You give people seasonal drinks as gifts?
Sure. Like a party favor.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, but I mean, like, you know, some guys aren't into raspberry beer or...
I love raspberry beer.
And, oh yeah, by the way, like, thank you, I'm a recovering alcoholic. You know,
yeah,
you gotta know about people, like, you just...
You gotta have a good base for 7 through 10 on the gift thing.
There you go.
Number 6.
Ties. Ties. Now, the ugly tie thing could be funny, but it's a complete waste of money.
True.
A nice tie could be cool, but honestly, who wears a tie anymore? Like, sorry, hey, dude, I've been in my sweats for the last 7 months.
Yeah, it's not a good gift right now.
Right? It's just not. Like, time and place, dude. Time and place.
Number 5.
Gift cards. Again, we've discussed ad nauseum. It does say, I don't know anything about you. I just know I'm supposed to get you a gift. Here. Spend my money.
I like them.
Number 4.
Workout equipment. Now, this comes from, and it was a Mother's Day gift. My late father got my mom the Jane Fonda workout video one year. It went over about as well as you thought it would go.
It's a terrible gift.
It was.
Number 3.
Picture calendars. Who has a calendar anymore? Remember we used to sell calendars to raise money?
Calendars used to be huge.
They used to
be calendar stores.
Right, yes. Whatever happened to calendar stores?
We got iPhones?
I guess so.
Number 2.
DVDs. Now, look, DVDs can be a really cool, I will sell it to you. If you know somebody's favorite movie, like of all time, you get them a DVD. Like, look, I just saw this DVD.
How do you play a DVD?
I don't know. That's a problem. In an Xbox, you can play it sometimes.
Number 1.
Anything that comes in a pack of 3. Right? Socks, boxers, undershirts. Like, really?
Yeah, that's kind of like that's like a stocking stuffer or like you
but
know.
But even a stocking stuffer, like you're just telling me that
like
I need
like my grandma would always get me socks. We always knew we were getting socks from grandma.
Best gift to get, I think, is pajamas. Who doesn't like pajamas?
I actually think that's a good gift, yeah.
Yeah. And onesie pajamas, kind of classically uncool cool.
Yeah, they're very comfortable, actually.
They're very, 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 very comfortable.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays.
Your name is Joy. You have to love Christmas.
I do
right?
love Christmas.
That's great.
I literally look like I love Christmas right now.
You do. You do. Tune in, what is it?
Saturday, 10 to 1 Eastern, 10 a.m. to 1 Eastern on Fox Sports Radio.
But maybe more importantly, watch you on Amazon
yes.
Prime tonight,
yep.
right?
Yep, tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Wait.
Saints, Vikings, tomorrow.
I'm so confused.
Cardinals, Niners, Saturday.
No, I'm just bad with my days.
Today
is Thursday. But the game is not Thursday. It's Friday.
Tomorrow is Christmas.
But
yes.
Again, I knew it was Thursday. I just forgot. Joy, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks.
Boys, have a very, very Merry Christmas. Drive safe. Don't drink and drive. And wear a mask, please. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.